Well, here we are, last talk of the day, but I think I need to cover off on just at least one more thing of business. Will you please leave your lanyard? You can take your name tag, but if you would leave your lanyard on the table out there when you leave, I would be really grateful, because we can reuse them, unless you've chewed a hole in them or something. So I wanted to be able to send you all home with a practice that I'm hoping you'll actually take the time over the next few months to incorporate in your life. It was interesting to me that Nick mentioned that you should have some sort of a spiritual practice. Well, we already know that, don't we? And we try them for a while, and they work for a while, and then we need a new one. So let this be the new one for a while. And let's see what happens for you. The practice is centered on gratitude that leads to joy. Have you ever wondered whatever happened to joy in my life? I mean, I know you probably all have, and you may actually be in a time like that right now thinking, what has happened to joy in my life? Lord, is it gone? Is it gone forever? When you hear verses like, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and think, well, no wonder I am so weary. Where is the joy, Jesus? And there are obvious answers, aren't there? Life happens. Life happens, and a lot of it is hard. But we were created by a loving creator for joy. And I thank you for what Sean brought in his message that I think already prepared you for this little highway we're going to go on. He created us for joy and to be with him, to enjoy his presence. And this is meant for now. This isn't something we're waiting for when we get to heaven. And yet we know we do wait for the complete fulfillment of that, don't we? We wait for a return to a glorious garden. We live in the now of Jesus' sacrifice, which reconciled us to our Heavenly Father, but we live in that not quite fulfilled, the not yet before his return. We're hurt by others, our own sin, as Sean talked about. Our awareness of how broken the world is robs us of joy. But I want to suggest another reason today for the elusiveness of joy. What if we are only using half of our brain? Now, Wilder and Hendricks, in their book, The Other Half of Church, suggest that we only use half of our brains as Christians. Brain scientists and neurotheologians like Wilder say that we live out our faith from the left side of our brain. Our efforts to learn theology, to have a Bible study plan, and many of the spiritual exercises that we practice are primarily left-sided brain activities. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with any of these efforts. In fact, we need them. Memorizing scripture or being very familiar with the Bible narrative gives Jesus language to speak to us. These efforts, though, are predominantly left brain. And ignoring the right hand half of our brain traces its roots back to the Age of Enlightenment, over 400 years ago. The Enlightenment era changed the way we thought about ourselves as humans. The mind became the most important concern. I was real excited that somebody else already mentioned James K.A. Smith. So if you've read anything by James K.A. Smith, you have probably come across his definition of the mind being the most important thing, and he calls that brains on a stick. We're so up here that the rest of us is just like a stick. And while I agree that a mind is a terrible thing to waste, I believe our bodies and the signals they send us are terrible things to waste as well. Now, the Holy Spirit lives in followers of Christ and often signals his presence physically. Our response to that might be tears. That's kind of common for me. It might be the automatic lifting of our hands in worship, or maybe even desiring to dance in worship. It may move us to a compassion that we first register in our gut. Most of us have been trained to ignore these sensations or to reason them away, when in fact the right side of our brain is at work saying, pay attention to this, whatever the this of the moment might be. So how do we begin to embrace the right side of the brain? This afternoon, in the short time that we have, I will introduce a practice often referred to as interactive gratitude. Now, we've all heard sermons that at least included the notion of being grateful, or read books that encouraged us to keep lists of things we're grateful for. And the practice of interactive gratitude incorporates those ideas with an emphasis on grateful memories that lead to joy. Grateful memories actually bring joy. You know, Sean has just talked about getting into this habit of returning to this place that was unhealthy. This is forming a habit that helps us return to a healthy place. So grateful memories can actually bring joy when we take the time to sit in them, spend time in them, remember them, share them with Jesus. God designed our brains to run on joy. And I think Sean said something about that, but then we take this sideway path and we get caught up in this other bad habit. And God is, Jesus is saying, nope, come back here. I've designed you to be here. Here is where joy is. And God wants us to live in the fullness of his delight for us. He delights in us. And the world just beats us up, and the enemy sends us signals of how unworthy we are. And that is not true. That is not true, and Jesus proved it on the cross long ago. God wants us to live in the fullness of his delight for us, not self-condemnation, not the lies of the enemy. In Numbers 6 at verse 24, you know this very familiar blessing. It is this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Well, I'm told that this blessing is perhaps more correctly received as this: may you feel the joy of God's face shining on you because he is happy to be with you. God's face is actually connected with joy in the Bible. Because we are so often caught up in our heads and our own ability to reason things out, we've ignored our bodies and what they feel in response to God's face shining on us, God's presence with us. God designed facial recognition circuitry into our brains, and he linked it to our joy center. Now, brain science reveals that this joy sensation is crucial for emotional and relational development. Our brain, when you walk into a room, our brain looks specifically to the face of another person to find joy. You may not be aware of that, but you will be now. So when we enter a room, we look to see, is there anybody here happy to see me? Is there anybody here that's happy to be with me? And how uncomfortable we feel until we find someone that is. And when we find them and we see that they are happy to be with us and they have a smile for us, that fills up our emotional gas tank. This is especially obvious with an infant and a parent, isn't it? The infant naturally looks to his or her parent for the response found in their faces. And because we often think of God as far off, and Jesus has risen from the dead and gone far away to be with them, we have not practiced looking for his face to shine upon us. We struggle to believe that he is happy to be with us. Joy is often disregarded in our Christian practices because we ignore bodily sensations in our faith practice. In Scripture, words that strongly incorporate physical sensations in our bodies have been translated to be more cerebral and offer conceptualization of the message rather than feeling the message. Disconnecting our bodies from our experience of God is the result of overuse of the left side of our brain. We're leaving the other half of our brain when we ignore our body's signals. But the human body was designed to respond to joy, which is hard to do when we're caught up in depression and anxiety and self-condemnation. So I hasten to add that joy does not completely remove our pain, or does it change our circumstances. But it gives us strength to endure. Strength to endure. If we want to work through pain without our brain shutting down, we need to build a stronger capacity into our nervous system for handling the shock and trauma of sad and terrible memories. Thank you, Sean, for already introducing neuropathways this afternoon. Miraculously, please hear me, miraculously, our brains can build this capacity. We can rewire our brains by experiencing joy, by regularly practicing the cycle of joy. We build our joy by the practice of gratitude that we feel when we remember Jesus' kindness and provision for us in the past. Now I'm going to introduce a word, Emmanuel journaling, or a practice. I'm not going to introduce the whole practice. I wish I could. But it offers the practice of interactive gratitude along with practicing the truths of Jesus' affirmations in our lives. And there are 5 of these affirmations in our lives. I mentioned them at the beginning of our conference, and I want to remind you of them again. Please hear this. Jesus says, I see you. Jesus says, I hear you. Jesus says, I understand what you are going through. Jesus says, I am happy to be with you. And Jesus says, I can help you. Not only can I help you, I want to help you. Don't the Psalms tell us those very things? Yes, they do. So I've recommended a book on Emmanuel journaling on my little page in the booklet to follow up with on the handout. But I also want to offer that if you are interested in practicing Emmanuel journaling, and some of you are saying, it's the first time I've ever heard of it. I don't even know what's going on. But if it's tweaking an interest and you think you would like to learn about the practice of Emmanuel journaling, the Healing Journey email address is on the handout. Shoot me an email, and I'm going to figure out how I can walk anybody through Emmanuel journaling that would like to learn about what I believe is one of the finest ways of growing deeply intimate with Jesus. So I've used the Emmanuel approach there. It's called the Emmanuel approach, and for many years I was involved in listening and inner healing according to the Emmanuel approach. And later, this Emmanuel journaling has come along as a practice. About 18 months ago, I began practicing Emmanuel journaling in community, and it has been just absolute gift. So it's a practice developed by Wilder and Lehman, the same brain scientists that developed Emmanuel inner healing prayer. And so I just want to let you know that the Wellspring team that offers transformational prayer, many of us, I'm actually on that team even though I serve at Church of the Advent, use the Emmanuel approach to listening and inner healing prayer. But the first step of both of these practices is interactive gratitude, remembering the goodness of God. Interactive gratitude is a practice that goes deeper than Thanksgiving. It is called interactive gratitude because you and Jesus enjoy it together. In it, we recall a positive memory and remember as much of the goodness of it as possible. Imagining being back in the moment, what did it feel like? What were the smells? What was the weather like? Who was with me? Who was with you? And as you remember it with gratitude, what does your body feel like? What are the physical sensations that begin to raise up? I often feel like joy is just raising up in my inner person and rolling over and raising up, and I remain in that posture for as long as I possibly can. Now, the more you practice gratefulness, the longer you will be able to sustain an attitude of interactive gratefulness and joy with Jesus. And then after you've spent some time there, then you ask Jesus, well, Jesus, where are you in the memory? Where were you in that moment, Jesus? Last night, Bishop shared that as he got saved and started to grow and he had these snapshots of his life, that the Lord showed him Jesus in each of those snapshots. Well, he's in our snapshots too. So often the memories that will come to you will be a time you were in the mountains, maybe you're on a hike or at the ocean, just being overwhelmed by the grandeur of it, or a riverside. Those are often the first memories that come to us as we begin to practice that. Or your memory might be of a delicious meal, a time with family that was just so good to be together, or a cup of coffee with a friend. One of your memories might be a time when you were at church and Jesus made you so aware of his presence. A journal needs to be a part of this practice. And I don't say that to journal guilt anybody that struggles with having a journal. But you're going to be writing to Jesus. You're going to be writing, as you remember this memory, you're going to start writing it down in your journal. Well, this is what I remember. And then you're going to say, and this is why I'm grateful for it, Lord. Tell Jesus, why are you grateful for it? And then you're going to listen. What does Jesus have to say to you in response to your gratefulness? And whenever I have introduced this practice, people always say, well, how do I know it's God's voice? So I'll give you two tests. First one is, does it agree with what you know Scripture says? That's a pretty good test. And the second one is, does it shalom your body? Does it bring peace to you? Or does it just make you feel anxious and terrible and condemned? If it's that, and Dr. Grutheis talked about today, that is not from God. Does it bring peace to you? Those two are pretty good tests. I would like to encourage you to start with 5 minutes. I actually set the stopwatch on my phone. And in my journal, I wrote out 10 things that I am really grateful for. And my first two, I can easily spend 5 minutes in. But when you first start practicing it, you might need 5, 6, or 7 to get a whole 5 minutes in. There's no rules in it. That's just a suggestion. But try to spend that time with Jesus. What's going on with you when you remember these details? You let yourself go back to this place that you're so grateful for. We just did this in our small group, and one of the young men shared this glorious memory of being out in nature, and he said, it never occurred to me how much joy this brought to me until I stopped to think about it. And I think you'll find that. I think you'll find you have lots of glorious gratefulness out there that we just kind of go on to life, and the habit is to go and struggle with the difficult things rather than to spending time with our glorious Jesus, being grateful for what he's given us. So I just want to quickly share one of my really happy memories. It was my 60th birthday party at my house, and we had 3 grandchildren then. We now have 8. But I'm standing at the kitchen island, probably making salad or something, getting ready for dinner. And the 3 are like 2 4s and a 3, or a clump like that. And I can hear the noise and the giggling and the laughter. And each one of them has a helium balloon in their hand. And they come running into the kitchen, and they're standing by me, and they're looking up and down. They're jumping up and down. They're so excited. They're like, "Nana, it's your birthday. Nana, it's your birthday." And it was infectious. It was so sweet. It wasn't till later they determined that old people's birthday parties were kind of boring. But when they were 3 and 4, they were happy for me to have a birthday. Now, we were able to take a family picture that day on a tripod or whatever. So it has a place in my home. I see it frequently. I remember it. And I am always so grateful for that, because there are actually people there that I don't have all together once in a while. So I'm so grateful for family. I'm so grateful for that time. But when I was first challenged at a prayer seminar some time ago to ask Jesus, "Where are you in the memory?" I went back to the memory. I'm in my kitchen. I'm at the island. The grandkids come in. "Jesus, where are you?" And all of a sudden I realized he's over by the microwave. And he is loving my grandchildren. He's throwing his head back. He's laughing. He's enjoying them every bit as much as I am. And the next thing I realize, I'm standing next to Jesus. And he has his arm around me. And he's looking at me and he says, "I'm happy it's your birthday too." Jesus was happy to be with me. So I want you to invite you into this beautiful practice of remembering how often God is good to us, in the little ways and the big ways. The outcome of practicing joy and grateful memories that I have discovered, and I have to admit the enemy worked really hard to discourage me in it in the last 10 days. But what I have discovered is that when I'm caught up in negative emotions, worry or anger, or as Sean has shared, perhaps a desire to turn to pornography, when I'm caught up in the enemy's lies or just our own grumpiness, our brain begins to send signals. Once we get in the habit of practicing gratefulness, we are actually rewiring our brain, as Sean talked about. Brain scientists have discovered we can rewire our brain. We don't have to stay in those old, broken down pathways that do not bring us joy. So as we rewire our brain, all of a sudden our brain starts to send signals when you're getting grumpy with your spouse. I don't know, does anybody else have that happen to them? or a situation, we're angry, we're anxious, our brain starts to say, wait, we don't like feeling that way anymore. We don't have to stay stuck in this weedy pathway. We can come over here where the Lord wants us. The Lord wants us to be joyful, remembering his goodness to us. One, the other thing that I have found that has started to happen, because I've been practicing this with my stopwatch, and I have a chair and do my quiet time, I set the stopwatch, and I open my list in my journal, and I start remembering different things, and I enjoy this. What has started to happen is that now I don't have to reach for grateful memories, that lots of times I recognize this is a grateful moment. This whole weekend has been a grateful moment to me. But the other day I'd begun my morning liturgy. I had my cup of coffee. I was looking out the window at the sunrise. And the joy of it, and how grateful I was to a God that brings the sunrise every day, just started to fill me. So now I don't have to necessarily wait for the memory. I can enjoy the gratefulness in the moment. And that is coming out of this practice. And I know we've all had times when we've done that, but I'm finding it happens more regularly. Now I want to invite you to enter into a positive memory. And we've got our little handouts, and you can write in those. But this is, and on the page where mine is, it tells you actually how to enter into a grateful memory. And when you, anytime you begin kind of a time with the Lord, I find it's a good time to breath pray or just take a deep breath. And if that becomes your habit, what happens is you take this deep breath and you let it out, and you've trained your body to say, oh, we're going to pay attention to Jesus now. So you bring it all together, body, mind, and spirit. Ask Jesus for a memory right now. Maybe one has already come as I've spoken with you. One might come right away, or you might have to spend a little time. Just ask the Lord, Jesus, do you have a memory you would like me to spend some time with you in and be grateful with you in the memory? And then after the memories come, how much can you remember? How much can you bring to your senses right now? What was the weather? Who was with you? Was it a meal? What did it taste like? And then you begin to write to Jesus why you are grateful for what you've remembered. And remember, you know, as long as it agrees with Scripture and shaloms your body, you are in good stead. We're going to go into our last time of healing prayer. You'd be prayed for back in the soaking prayer or the prayer ministry. I think you know the routine by now. And when we are finished with that, we will move right into Eucharist. I'd like to leave you with this. May you feel the joy of God's face shining on you, because he is happy to be with you.